Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is the beginning of the fourth book of the Psalter, a psalm entitled, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Psalm 90, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You return man to dust and say, Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in Your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood, they are like a dream. Like grass that is renewed in the morning it flourishes and is renewed, in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by Your anger. By Your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before You, our secret sins in the light of Your presence. For all our days pass away under Your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of Your anger and Your wrath according to the fear of You? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on Your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with Your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as You have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let Your work be shown to Your servants, and Your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we look at Psalm 90, one of those psalms that is often turned to when considering the passage of time and the eternality and faithfulness of our God. It is a psalm, although often turned to, one that is a little sometimes jarring for us. It begins so beautifully, Lord, You've been our dwelling place through all generations. It ends so beautifully, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. But in the middle section, it becomes rather almost disturbing at times. You return men to dust and say, Return, O children of man. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream. We are brought to an end by Your anger. By Your wrath, we are dismayed. Our years pass away under Your wrath, and we end our years like a sigh. The span of our years is but toil and trouble. And who considers the power of Your anger and Your wrath according to the fear of You? A psalm that begins so beautifully and ends so beautifully has these rather almost dark and somber portions right in the center of it. And it is because the psalm includes both the praise of God for His goodness and the recognition of His wrath and anger that we can turn to a psalm like this and be reassured once again that we do have hope for the coming year. We don't have a God who is only in control when things are going well, when everything is fine. But we have a God who is always in control. And in control in spite of the challenges, of the difficulties, in spite of our own sinfulness. He remains the faithful and loving and just and righteous God. So tonight we turn to Psalm 90 to be encouraged, both by God's faithfulness and even in times of difficulty and struggle, that we might have hope for the year to come. Moses begins right away, as he writes this psalm, of reminding us what the source of our hope is. Lord, You have been our dwelling place. He begins right away by focusing our attention not on us and what we have done, but focusing our attention first and foremost on God. He is the source of our hope. He is the only reason we can have hope. Because we have a God who is faithful and powerful and who has been our dwelling place. And remember that this is Moses who is writing this. If anyone could perhaps try to take some credit in what he had done, it would be Moses. He led God's people out of captivity. He led them safely through the wilderness for some 38 years. He was the one who gave the law to God's people. He had seen God in all of His glory. And yet Moses doesn't begin by saying, look to yourself for your comfort. Look to yourself for your hope. He says, Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. You are the source of our hope and our comfort for the year to come. And he says, Lord, You have been our dwelling place. He doesn't even first turn our attention to what God does for us. Lord, You have provided us a dwelling place. No, he turns our attention to who God is to us. God doesn't simply provide a dwelling. God is our dwelling place. It is in Him that we live and move and have our being. It is in God Himself that we put our trust. Not even in the works of God, first of all. But in God in His eternality, in God in His perfection, in God in His faithfulness, You have been a dwelling place for us. You, O God, are the source of our hope. We can look back on our history. You've been our dwelling place in all generations. We look back on this past year and we see how God Himself has been a dwelling place for us. He has cared for our families. We have gone through difficult and different times in different families of trial, of hardship, of trouble. But God remains a dwelling place. That's our hope. We as a church have gone through highs and lows, have gone through times of transition. But God remains a dwelling place for His people. So as we look back to the past, we see that God has always been faithful, which gives us encouragement to look to the future with hope, knowing God will remain faithful. Before the mountains were brought forth, or You had formed the earth or the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. Not only has God been faithful, but that is His very character, to be faithful. And He will continue in the year to come. God's faithfulness, His promises, have no expiration date. You know, sometimes kids, your mom goes to the store and she buys something and she puts it on the counter, in the shelf, in the cupboard, and it kind of gets pushed to the back and pushed to the back and pushed to the back. And eventually she looks at that can of beans and says, oh, these are expired. We can't eat these anymore. There's no expiration date on the faithfulness of God. It will never run out. It will never be empty. It will continue again and again and again. That's our hope for the coming year. The God of our past, the God of our history, is also the God of our future. From everlasting to everlasting, You are God. In spite of the changes that we see around us, in spite of the challenges that we may face in the year to come, God remains our dwelling place. Moses goes on, verse 3, You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass renewed in the morning. It flourishes in the morning, but in the evening it fades away. We are mortal. God is immortal. He is forever. But we are creatures of mortality, of frailty. Moses reminds us of the brevity of life, of the frailty of life. Some of you have experienced that this past year. You know the frailty of the human body and the challenges that that brings. Not only to us physically, but even at times challenges to our faith. God, are you really in control? Are you really faithful? Do you really know what you're doing? And Moses reminds us, he is a dwelling place for us. In spite of the transient nature of life. Some of us this past year have lost loved ones. They have gone to be with the Lord. In spite of that, God remains faithful. In spite of the hurt and the heartache that that leaves for us who are left behind, God remains a dwelling place. Life changes around us. Economics change. The world condition change. Our leadership changes. Someone once said there's no constant in life except for change. That's the only thing we can count on. Things will continue to change. And yet even as we face change in our church life, in our family life, we go forward confidently and with hope, for God is a dwelling place. The psalmist goes on, verse 7, "We are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your presence." God's just anger against our sin is something that does not change. And in spite of that, we can have confidence because we look not to ourselves to cover that sin. God will set our iniquities before Him. Those sins that we have done openly and in public, which we know about and others know about. God also knows our secret sins in the light of His presence. We can hide nothing from Him. And in spite of the both overt and covert sins we have committed, we can have hope and trust in God. Because even though our days pass away under His wrath and our years are at the end like a sigh, yet He has given us His Son to cover our sins, to forgive us our sins. Because of God's faithfulness, we can have assurance and confidence that those overt and covert sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We face the challenge of sometimes believing that that is really true. Oh, I know God can forgive my small sins, but what about the big things I have done? What about the sins that I harbor in my heart? God is faithful to who He said He would be. He is a dwelling place for His people. The psalmist says, "Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Again, Moses takes our eyes off of ourselves. To get a heart of wisdom is to look not to oneself to save ourselves, but to look back to the dwelling place, to look back to God. May we recognize the frailty of our days, the frailty of our efforts to save ourselves, and place our confidence wholly, completely, and faithfully in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is the way to meet the challenges of sin in the year to come. Because we have not outgrown sin. With the passage of time, it does not go away. But we continue to struggle and face it every day, and yet we face that struggle in the sure confidence that God will strengthen us, He will encourage us, and when we fall short, He will forgive us of our sins. That is a heart of wisdom that recognizes God's ability, power, and desire to forgive those sins of His people. In the challenges of the year to come, in the challenges that we have facing us, whether they be physical challenges or spiritual challenges, God is our dwelling place and our hope. Because of this, because of the challenges we will face, because of God's faithfulness, Moses ends this psalm by turning in confidence, in what I call a prayerful confidence, toward the future. "Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." Satisfy us, O God, with your steadfast love. Being satisfied, knowing God and his love for his people. Often at this time of year, we make resolutions for the future. I've long since given up making resolutions. I get tired of breaking them in the first 2 weeks, so I don't make resolutions anymore. I do try to set goals, though. That's a little different, I think. And maybe you have some goals for the year to come. Maybe some family goals, planning a family vacation somewhere. Maybe some financial goals, maybe some business goals, maybe some educational goals. What are your spiritual goals for the year to come? If our families and education and finances were all taken away in the upcoming year, would we be satisfied with the steadfast love of our God? Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen your evil. Would we be glad simply to know God and to know him in a deeper way in the year to come? What are your goals for the coming year? I'm sure you have set some: financial, educational, business, family. Think about where you want your spiritual life to be 1 year from now. We think about every other area of life, but so often we forget our spiritual life and just assume it's going to happen. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Do we help our children set goals for the coming year? Do we help them to see that God is a faithful God in spite of whatever comes our way in 2009? If it is a year of profound blessing of God and our families flourish and our businesses prosper and our church grows, this is a time to teach our children, look what God is doing. Look how he continues to be faithful and to abundantly provide for us. If it is a year of hardship, a year of disaster, a year of heartache, we still teach our children that in spite of all these things, we trust a God who is our dwelling place. We have to help them see the glory of God. It's easy to see when things are going well. But in the difficult times, these are some of the best times to teach them. God is still in control. God is faithful. God is a dwelling place for his people through all generations, helping our children see the glory of God in the year to come, helping them reflect upon their spiritual goals. Where do they want to be spiritually a year from now? Do they want to have a deeper knowledge of God's Word, a deeper devotional life, a closer walk with him, a closer relationship with their parents or with their siblings or whatever it might be? Helping our children to get a biblical spiritual perspective on the year to come. Moses ends by saying, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. As he prays for the year to come, satisfying us with God's steadfast love, rejoicing and being glad all our days, let your works be shown to your servants, your power their children, he says, and establish the work of our hands. Now, I don't think that there are any of us here who would say, we don't want a closer relationship with God in the year to come. We don't want a deeper devotion for him. I make something of an assumption that we would all want that. But a closer walk with God and a deeper devotion is not something that happens automatically. It takes the work of God's Spirit in our hearts, but it takes our action, our deliberate and thought out ways of drawing closer to God. He has given us means, and we ask him to establish the work that we do. God has given us the means of grace. He has given us the preaching of his word. He's given us the sacraments. Are we even now planning to be more devoted to the use of those means, asking God to then establish the work of our hands that we do. We want to draw closer to Him. We know it takes the power of His Spirit, but He gives us means to use. Do you plan in the year to come to be more devoted to attending worship? More devoted to participating in the sacraments? More devoted to spending time with God? It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen by us sitting back on our hands and waiting for God to act. But God gives us healthy minds, and He gives us the means to use, and we pray that He might establish the work that we do because we want to be drawn closer to Him. So I would say, not only what are your spiritual goals for the year of our Lord 2009, but what is your plan? What work of your hands will you do to ask God to establish? We want to know more about His Word, but that doesn't happen by letting the Bible sit closed on the shelf. It happens by getting into the Word, asking God to bless our time of study, establish the work of our hands, but we have to get in the Bible. We don't get a closer fellowship and relationship with God by thinking about an active prayer life, but rather by having an active prayer life. And how will we do that? When will that take place? What will the context look like? What types of things will we pray about? What types of patterns for prayer will we use to help us be drawn closer to God? Now, Moses ends by saying, "Let the favor of our God be upon us, and may He then establish the work that we seek to do." As we go forward deliberately, confidently, prayerfully, we trust that in the year to come, God will draw us closer when we use the means, the abilities, the powers He has given to us, asking Him to establish that work. It's the eve of a new year, the eve of the year of our Lord 2009. And we have every reason to be hopeful. In spite of the change we may see around us, in spite of economic change, political change, change in our families as our children grow and perhaps go off to college in this coming year, God remains faithful. People of God, He is your dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or He had formed the earth or the world, from everlasting to everlasting, He is your God. You have reason for hope in the year to come. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for Your faithfulness, for Your trustworthiness. We thank You for giving us a faithful record of who You are in Your Word. May we take the words of Moses, the man of God, and take them to heart tonight. If we look with fear on the year to come, if we look with anxiety on the year to come, if we look with even now sorrow on the year to come, will You, by the power of Your Spirit, establish the work of our hands tonight? As we've gathered in Your presence, as we've heard Your Word proclaimed, will You bless that Word to us? Will You remind us and assure us that though times may come and times may go, You are a dwelling place for Your people, now and forever. May that be our confidence as we leave Your house this evening and as we enter the new year. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.